Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are doing the AFC edition of the Running Back Rundown. So run through all 32 teams, do all the depth charts here. So start with Cleveland and Nick Chubb off an extension, Kareem Hunt, both under contract through 2022. I know that there's been some concern and some, hey, look, Kareem Hunt wasn't that good last year. Like, oh, what's his ceiling? Like, his ceiling's fine. Like, it was a four-game sample size when he was hurt. I wouldn't be super concerned about that. I think it's like we know what is his range of outcomes, and it's very high. So we've seen that throughout his career. So I'm not super concerned about that, although I know that is a narrative that's sort of building out there. So I feel really good about Kareem Hunt as an injury away guy. And he's an injury away guy plus. Like, he's a weekly flex play probably. That might be at worst too. So especially once there's some attrition at the position. So I feel fine about Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. You know, I think they both take ceiling off each other. This is a scenario. Whereas if either one of them got hurt, I think the other one has really, really high upside situation. Turning next to the Kansas City Chiefs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's Darrell Williams thereafter. I know that Jerick McKinnon's kicking around a little bit. I don't think that he's going to challenge as of now. I think this is a Darrell Williams backfield if Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets hurt. And remember, like, he was playing a lot down the stretch. Even when Edwards-Helaire was back, it was close to a 50-50 split. So if we came in and it was like a 55-45 split in early on the season, like, that would not shock me, and I think it would surprise folks. And I think at that point you would really get Clyde Edwards-Helaire to potential value. So just bear that in mind. I think that's well within the range of outcomes. Tennessee, Darrington Evans landing up on IR, so makes the roster, lands up on IR afterwards, so he will miss at least three games, but he's eligible to come back and play. Jeremy McNichols dealing with a COVID situation. We'll watch for him to be back hopefully before week one. Mekhi Sargent, if no one else is available, Mekhi Sargent is. They did waive injured Brian Hill during camp, and then they reached an injury settlement with him. So that actually makes him ineligible to play to sign with Tennessee for 6 weeks. So just keep that in mind. That was a player that, hey, maybe he could potentially have returned. I'm not sure that's going to happen now, or it would be later in the season. So you're going to have other teams here, other players really lining up for this spot. So I'm interested in sort of how it's going to unfold, but I do think I think it is going to be McNichols first, and then we'll see what happens when Evans gets back. New England Patriots, medium human hand grenade confidence, medium human hand grenade value. So this is Damian Harris starting. Ramondre Stevenson, I think, is the injury way guy. You got J.J. Taylor, James White also there. I mean, this seems like it sets up in the definition of which we know of New England's running backs and how they use them. It seems like it sets up pretty well. Again, now they'll go out and do something totally different. But it seems like this one's pretty understandable. And maybe we're grading on a curve. But it seems like Damian Harris is going to be lead guy. Ramondre Stevenson is going to be some level of reserve. And that might be a mix and match with J.J. Taylor, James White, and, you know, sort of how that all operates. But that's kind of how I envision it. Again, if things change, like, there's nothing that you could conceive that would surprise me. Like, Damian Harris goes 33 for 207 and 3 in week one, wouldn't shock me. Ramondre Stevenson goes 33 for 207 and 3 in week one, wouldn't surprise me. You know, so maybe if James White did that, it would, but outside of that, like, there's not a ton that would shock me. They're just not really that predictable. I think this is one of the more static or predictable situations that we've had with them here in recent years at least. Vegas is pretty simple to me. Josh Jacobs is the running back. Kenyon Drake is the injury away guy. Kenyon Drake is some form of one, you know, of a committee plus. We'll see how big the plus is, or the, you know, an injury away plus guy. We'll see how big the plus is, and how viable that is. But I think that one's pretty straightforward. The Indianapolis Colts is pretty straightforward as well. I think it's pretty clear it's Marlon Mack. Wilkins and Hines are going to play behind him. So we'll see there. I mean, Marlon Mack has the ability to really shape a narrative on running backs. Again, he's going to hit that. You get like those. Marlon Mack's a good example of why I think the Achilles tendon thing is kind of nonsensical. Or that the predictiveness of that prior hit rate's nonsensical. He was going to get superseded anyways, and then he gets hurt. Now he comes back, and he's superseded. What do we expect for a hit rate on that anyways, right? It's something like, I don't know, 5, 10% maybe, you know, that, you know, maybe it's higher than that. Maybe it's 20, right? Maybe it's the injury rate or something like that, you know, half the injury rate, whatever, to Jonathan Taylor, but I don't think it's that high, right? I mean, maybe, I think it's maybe like 5 to 10%. You get a top 24 season out of him. And, you know, so that happens 10 times and none of them happen. That's not really a statistically significant situation. So I'm going to draw some information on this, you know, in terms of how we should think about Cam Akers. But I don't think, like, if he looks like he can play, that's a good sign. And it doesn't matter if he goes for, you know, 1,000 yards. Like, that wasn't going to happen anyways. So that's just my thought. And then Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines, we'll see how that unfolds. All right, Gus Edwards in Baltimore. I have high confidence that he's going to be the man. I have low confidence in who I think the human hand grenade is going to be. And I have medium confidence in their value. So I think Tyson Williams is probably the guy right now. At least I read a lot of reports from camp on them. And it looks like that, I mean, they're really excited. You know, leaped over Justice Hill, I believe was one of the quotes. So I don't know if that was metaphorical or he actually jumped over him. Justice Hill, not the biggest guy. I assumed it was metaphorical. But yeah, I mean, that's really that's the level of sort of optimism that they were talking about with Tyson Williams. So I'm pretty interested in that one. Adding him, you know, I've got still some more waivers here to go this week, but yeah, trying to get up there. You know, if I can get to a third, a half, that'd be nice. Not killing myself, you know, maybe 5 to 10% if I can get it. Like, I don't want to, you know, we've done this already a bunch of times with Xavier Jones and, you know, with a couple of other guys where we've, you know, dumped the purse out, and, you know, 3 weeks later, you know, Xavier Jones is on IR, right? And Xavier Jones is cut around the practice squad or whatever, you know, whatever happened. I mean, that's kind of where we're at, and that's not what we don't really like that, to blow all that money. So, you know, it would be just as easy for them to bring in Gurley in week two, you know? So that would be the thing that I would just say with that. I do think Justice Hill for, like, I'd rather have Justice Hill for a buck than Tyson Williams for 55% of my waiver budget. I'll just say that. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers, this situation's interesting. It's Najee Harris first up. I expect Harris to have a big workload too, so yeah, I'm pretty optimistic about him. Benny Snell thereafter, Kalen Ballage is there too. I don't have a good answer on that. Anthony McFarlane, who I thought was going to be the guy, and that's really what all the news and information was signaling, he was going to be the injury away guy. He's on IR, so it looks like he's going to be back. This is a situation he can return from. But in the immediate term, maybe it ultimately doesn't matter, right? Like, I'm not cutting Anthony McFarlane or anything like that. I do think if I were to say, like, it's probably Benny Snell that warrants the ad at present over Ballage. But again, this is one of those situations. I'd rather spend a dollar on Ballage than 35% of my budget on Benny Snell, right? That's kind of the bet that I'd rather make. Okay, next up is Denver. I mean, I think it's Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. I think either one of them is the human hand grenade for the other. I don't think there's much mystery there. Cincinnati, this one's interesting. It's Joe Mixon. It's Perine, Samaje Perine. And then Chris Evans out of Michigan. So I think he could potentially have a have some interest there in terms of him being an injury away guy, with some receiving ability too, probably. So I think it's a really interesting situation, all told. I'm excited for some mix in volume. I think it'd be nice to see. Jacksonville Jaguars. It's James Robinson. I believe it's Carlos Hyde. That seems like the most logical answer. That's gonna almost have to be what it is. Tavino Zigbo got cut from the team and signed back to the practice squad, so I guess that's an option. Nathan Cantrell as well, and maybe they just roll like Dare Ogunbowale is on. It made the 53-man roster, and he plays special teams. And listen, it could be one of those situations where you just roll with three guys in week, right? And you've got Ozigbo, you've got you maybe work on the back end, with waivers or whatever on your practice squad, all that stuff. Like you can do that, and just say, listen, we're gonna play three guys. Like we can get through any week with James Robinson, Carlos Hyde, and if push comes to shove, we can play Dare Ogunbowale for 30 snaps. Like it's fine. And just do that, it makes some sense because Ogunbowale is going to be active anyways, and that makes some sense. So I wouldn't just write off Ozigbo. You are in 25 man, right? He's got to go, but in 35 man or something like that, like he's still in the pecking order, like he's still in the line of succession, even though he's on the practice squad. Just I think this is one of those unique ones where he's got. He's got some value, probably like if Xavier Jones were to end up on practice squad for the Rams, something like that. He's got that ability. So just bear that in mind. New York Jets, I think it's Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, some combination thereof. I have little confidence in the order in which that's going to take or the priority which that's going to take. I do think that Michael Carter is the third back. I think LaMichael Perine's there too. I don't think he's in the line of succession though. I think this is Coleman Johnson to start, and we'll see how that unfolds. Carter, I put on here, likelihood to be on the roster next year. I think this is an unlikely one for the starter. So just bear that in mind. I think Mark Ingram's going to start for Houston. That's kind of the level of confidence that I have. Philip Lindsay's there. It appears that David Johnson's not going to, is kind of what it appears. Low level of confidence for the situation, low level of confidence that we've got the injury away guy picked right. Miles Gaskin, this is a low level on both of them. I think he's the starter. If he's injured, like how much are we going to prioritize Malcolm Brown? Salvin Ahmed's going to play. I don't know. Like I think there's probably better situations out there to add the injury away guy. But that said, like Malcolm Brown could conceivably be playable in a week. So I don't know. It's even if Gaskin is healthy. So like I'm not cutting him yet because I think there's a chance that he's actually the starter. With that said, like if we go through some weeks or whatever, and it's clear that he's going to be like a four snap guy, a four touch guy, something like that, I think he's going to be cuttable. But I would hold him right now just because I think it's a non-zero chance that he's their actual 15-touch starter. Buffalo, it's Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, and Breida. It feels like you need an injury here for someone to make a difference. It honestly feels like two and a change of quarterback to really make an elite difference. That's kind of where we're at. I think Singletary's good. I think Zach Moss is a little pedestrian. I think Breida's really interesting. Breida was doing some stuff in the passing game, too. He was actually taking some of the snaps from Isaiah McKenzie when McKenzie was out. So bear that in mind. Like he's a usable piece, maybe in a way that these other guys aren't. Austin Eckler, no surprise there with the Chargers. I think the really interesting part is what the hell they're going to do after that. So you've got Justin Jackson, you've got Joshua Kelly, you've got Larry Roundtree. I think Larry Roundtree has been the one that's actually looked better than Joshua Kelly. I do think it's a situation where I think Justin Jackson's probably the lead guy. I think if there's a third guy to own, give me a shot on Larry Roundtree. I just don't think Joshua Kelly's very good. I think we've seen a lot of sample that would speak to that. So I think if I'm going to take a bet here, I think it's going to be Larry Roundtree. So, and listen, he might like this. That's a situation where he could be cut week three or week two. He might be rostered right now, but available just because other things come up. Like, be cognizant of that. That's really something to potentially look at here going forward. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. So I hope you enjoyed the running back rundowns here. I'll have some additional content prepping us for week one here going into the week. And then once week two hits, we'll sort of go through our weekly schedule here, snap reactions. And I'll have a Monday initial reaction show, snap reactions during the week, some trade stuff, waiver stuff, and we'll be ready to roll. So I will do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.